Trump's Axios interview this week was extraordinary, even by the standards of this presidency. The president said explicitly that he sees no limits to his own power. That's a statement that would generate enormous controversy in most political environments, but it's landing in a news cycle so saturated with other developments that it risks getting insufficient attention. The constitutional implications of a sitting president claiming unlimited authority are serious. Article 2 of the Constitution defines executive power within a framework of checks and balances that courts have consistently upheld.
What's also striking about the Axios interview is the combination of statements Trump made. He calls Modi and Xi his most admired world leaders, two leaders who govern systems with significant authoritarian characteristics, in the same interview where he claims no limits to presidential power. Those aren't disconnected data points. They reflect a coherent worldview about executive authority and governance that is worth taking seriously as a policy signal, not just as rhetoric.
The Pennsylvania approval number, 29%, is a striking data point because Pennsylvania is genuinely a bellwether state. Trump won it in 2024, and losing that margin of support within 18 months of the election suggests real erosion among exactly the working-class voters he built his coalition around. The key number inside that poll is that nearly half of Pennsylvania voters say they're financially worse off than a year ago, up from 36% in March. That's a 14-point jump in 3 months on the single metric that tends to matter most for political durability.
The Trump-Senate Republican friction story is one that deserves more sustained attention than it typically gets. The dynamic is reaching what observers are describing as a near breaking point. Senate Republicans have institutional interests in their own elections, in governing norms, in the filibuster, that sometimes diverge sharply from what the White House wants. When that tension becomes public, it complicates the legislative agenda and can create openings for opposition strategies that would otherwise be blocked.
The no-bid contract story, $1.7 million to Greenwater Services for cleaning the reflecting pool, tied to a company connected to a $300,000 Trump donor, is exactly the kind of procurement story that tends to accumulate and compound. On its own, it's one data point. But as these stories build up, they shape perceptions of how the administration conducts government business, particularly among independent voters who care about government integrity.
Gabbard releasing the classified Fauci files on her final day as Director of National Intelligence is a notable exit move. The timing, literally her last day in the role, ensures the release happens under her authority while preventing any possibility of a successor deciding not to proceed with it. It also means she exits with a headline that plays very well with the political base that elevated her to that position. What the files actually contain and whether they change any substantive understanding of pandemic-era decisions will matter a great deal for how this story develops.
And then there's the acting intelligence chief story, Bill Pult arriving with requests for a full employee list and reportedly planning hundreds of firings on his first day. Pult is a housing official. He has no intelligence experience. The intelligence community has deep institutional norms around classified information handling, source protection, and operational security. Disrupting that apparatus with rapid personnel changes creates genuine national security risks that go beyond the political optics of the move.
The deportation story, lawyers saying U.S. deportees in Sierra Leone face forced return to persecution, adds another layer to the administration's immigration enforcement approach. The legal argument is that deportees are being sent to countries where they face documented risks, which triggers specific protections under U.S. and international law. Courts have been the primary check on this enforcement activity, and that legal battle is likely to intensify.
The FBI operation on LA's Skid Row, 20 agents conducting roughly 50 interviews with homeless individuals over alleged paid voter registration fraud, is worth examining carefully. Large FBI operations targeting vulnerable populations for voter fraud allegations have historically generated significant civil liberties scrutiny. The scale of the operation and its location are both notable.
Juneteenth being omitted from Trump's official schedule for the second consecutive year on what is now a federal holiday carries symbolic weight that shouldn't be overlooked, particularly today, on the holiday itself. The decision to not formally acknowledge a federal holiday honoring the end of American slavery is a statement about priorities and constituency, whether framed as an oversight or as deliberate positioning.